ॐ तत्संयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शं नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ वी प्रे टु द डिवैन् लार्ड् दट् ही बेस्टो हिस् ग्रेस् अपान् अस् आल् मे वी बी एबल् टु सिङ्ग् हिस् ग्लोरीस् and chant his names by his grace during his worship ceremonies and sacrifices. May rain pour on time in sufficient quantities so that herbs and plants grow in potency and diseases can be cured effectively. May all human beings be always happy. May all animals and plants be also thrive. May the Lord bestow His grace upon us all. Om peace. May there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. May there be peace everywhere in the whole of nature. Good morning. Welcome to all of you. Today we shall continue the topic which we started last week. The topic is knowledge and ignorance. Jnana and Ajnana or Avidya. In the Upanishads, knowledge is said to be of two kinds, paravidya and aparavidya. Aparavidya is knowledge of the world, which we study in various educational institutions and universities. All the subjects, all the branches of science and technology, medical sciences, social sciences and humanities, all of those branches of knowledge come under the umbrella of aparavidya or knowledge of the world. They are very important. We should pursue some branch of knowledge for success in this life. Paravidya is that which gives us knowledge of the self, of our divine nature. In the Upanishad, paravidya is very briefly described as para yaya tadaksharam adigamyate. Paravidya is that which gives us knowledge of the self, the infinite, eternal, divine self within us all. That is also essential. Both branches of knowledge are essential. In the Upanishad, the importance of worldly knowledge is also emphasized. Sri Ramakrishna also mentioned in a parable that if a person is not well versed in the skills of life, in knowledge of the world, it is difficult to succeed in life. We saw that parable. A pandit was crossing a river in a boat, and he was very proud of his scholarship of the Vedas and the scriptures. The fellow passengers were all fishermen, and the pandit was bragging about his knowledge of the Vedas. He was asking them, "Have you studied the Vedas?" They said, "No, sir, we are humble people, we don't know the Vedas." "Have you studied Vyakarana, knowledge, grammar?" I said, no sir, we don't know Panini or anything. Patanjala or Panini. He went on like this. And then a storm broke out and the boat was about to sink. And the fellow passengers asked the Pandit, sir, do you know how to swim? The Pandit says, no. Sir, we don't know any Patanjala or Panini, but we know how to swim. They all jumped into the river and swam to safety. The Pandit was left in the sinking boat. So it is very important to have worldly knowledge for success in life or a decent life. But that is not enough. We have to acquire also paravidya, because that shows us the way to ultimate freedom, to salvation and liberation. The importance of the paravidya, knowledge of the self, is extolled in various scriptures, notably in the Bhagavad Gita in 13th chapter. Sri Krishna says that this knowledge of the field and the knower of matter and spirit is of the utmost importance. That is true knowledge. Kshetra kshetra jnayor jnanam yattad jnanam matam mama. Real knowledge is that knowledge by which we can know the nature of ourself, the divine nature of ourself. That is true knowledge. And this knowledge, the importance of this knowledge, was also emphasized by Lord Sri Krishna in the 13th chapter. This knowledge of the field and knower has been expounded by very many sages in glorious terms and chanted in the Vedas in various meters. Rishabir Bahudha Gitam. In many ways, the sages have sung the glory of self-knowledge. Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Heta Madbhir Vinishchitaihi. Not only that, these scriptures, Upanishads, in which this self-knowledge is expounded by the illumined teachers, has been subjected to rigorous analysis and robust logical analysis. That is important for us to know. Now, what are the characteristics of knowledge, science of knowledge? When can we say that a person has knowledge of the self? We can easily say when a person has knowledge of the world. If a person is an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, in conversation we can easily know that he is a qualified man, educated person. It comes through very easily. You can know he is practicing a profession. By his profession, work by which he does, we can know his knowledge. How much he has studied, we can easily understand. But if a person has knowledge of the self, as we have seen, there is no outward sign of distinction. While Mother Sharda Devi asked, if a person knows God, does he grow a pair of horns? Nothing, no such thing. He appears like anybody else. Actually, an avadhuta, or a realized person, or a vijnani, does not show outside his knowledge. He may appear as a child, as a madman, as a ghoul, as an ordinary person. There is no outward sign or symbol by which we can identify a person of self-knowledge. But there are certain qualities, certain personality traits, which help us to identify such a person. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has given a list of 20 such qualities. Sri Krishna is the great list maker. He likes to make lists. In the second chapter, he gives a list of more than 20 qualities of Sthita Prajna. When Arjuna asked, what are the qualities? Most of them are observable qualities of a person who knows the self. Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha Samadhisthasya. A person who has experienced Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Samadhistha, his qualities are described by Sri Krishna in a second chapter. In the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna has given 20 some qualities of a true devotee. If a person has devotion to God, what are the qualities of such a person? What can be seen in such a person? That list is given in the 12th chapter. In the 13th chapter, Sri Krishna has given a list of 20 qualities of a jnani, a person who knows self-knowledge, who has self-knowledge, who is an illumined person. And in the 14th chapter again, he gives a short list of a person who has transcended the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So in the 13th chapter, this list of 20 qualities of a jnani are given here. So we'll go through them one by one as much as possible. First quality is amanitvam. Amanitvam means, Shankara in his commentary on this verse describes amanitvam in this way. Maninaha bhavaha manitvam. A person who has exaggerated view of his own importance, his own virtues, his own qualities, his own accomplishments, his own possessions. He is very boastful. He likes to brag about how much he has, how much he knows, how much he has done, how much he has accomplished. Such a person cannot be a jnani. Pride is the quality of a conceited, boastful person. Humility, on the other hand, which is absence of pride, is the quality of the person who knows the self. A person should be humble. Sri Ramakrishna was the very embodiment of humility. There was a particular instance, there are two instances, when his extreme humility can be seen. In page 210 of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, there is an incident which happened in Suresh Mitra's home, Surendra's home, and I am going to read it from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, page 210. Surendra, a beloved disciple of the Master, lay disciple of the Master, had invited him to his house on the auspicious occasion of the Annapurna Puja. It was about 6 o'clock when Sri Ramakrishna arrived there with some of his devotees. The image of the Divine Mother had been installed in the worship hall. At her feet lay hibiscus flowers and vilva leaves. From her neck hung a garland of flowers. Sri Ramakrishna entered the hall and bowed down before the image. Then he went to the open courtyard where he sat on a carpet, surrounded by his devotees and disciples. A few bolsters lay on the carpet, which was covered with a white linen sheet. He was asked to lean against one of these, but he pushed it aside. A bolster is a long cylindrical pillow, which you can see in some people's homes, and a person can recline against the bolster and feel very comfortable. Sri Ramakrishna, when he was asked to lean against one such bolster, he pushed it aside. To lean against a bolster, Sri Ramakrishna said, you see, it is very difficult to give up vanity. He may discriminate, saying that the ego is nothing at all, but still it comes, nobody knows from where. Perhaps you are frightened in a dream, you shake off sleep and are wide awake, but still you feel your heart palpitating. Egotism is exactly like that. You may drive it away, but still it appears from somewhere. Then you look sullen and say, what, I have been not shown proper respect. This is the expectation of a person who thinks he always should be respected. Wherever he goes, people should stand up and bow down to him and say, sir, you are so great, like that. That expectation is not good. We should be humble. One should be lowly. Then Kedar, one of the devotees, was present there. He quoted a verse from Chaitanya's Shikshashtakam. Kedar says, one should be lowlier than a straw and patient as a tree. That is one line, that is one quarter of a hymn called Shikshashtakam, containing 8 stanzas of instruction on how to pray, composed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That verse has come many times, which Kedar quoted, part of which Kedar quoted. When we pray to God, we should pray with humility, not with pride, without ostentation. We should keep our prayers simple. And in the Bible, the Lord says, when you pray, go into a closet and pray in secret, not in the public square, showing everybody that I am praying, I am such a great devotee. That showing off should not be there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. Humbler than a blade of grass. Trina means a blade of grass. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna, more forbearing than a tree. A tree is often cited as a symbol of forbearance. No matter what we do to a tree, it will continue to bear fruit and flowers and all the products. Even if you cut off one branch of the tree, with the remaining branches, it will give shade and fruits and flowers. Even if you cut the whole tree, it will serve as a timber for construction work. So we should be humbler, never complaining, never claiming respect for oneself. Trinadapi sunichena, humbler than a blade of grass. Tarorapi sahishnuna, more forbearing than a tree. Amanina manadena, not claiming respect for oneself. On the other hand, instead we should give respect to everybody. Manada, in a person who gives respect to somebody else. We should not claim that everybody should show respect to me, but we should, on the other hand, show respect to everybody. That's what Sri Ramakrishna was doing. A yogi came there, maybe Hatha yogi came to Dakshineshwar. He wanted fire for his ceremony or fire lighting his chillam. And he went to Sri Ramakrishna's room to ask if there is any fire available. Sri Ramakrishna sent somebody to bring the fire, and that person brought the fire and gave it to the yogi. He went away. Throughout this incident, Sri Ramakrishna stood standing with folded hands. Then somebody asked him, Thakur, he is an ordinary yogi. So many such yogis come and go. And when he came, you stood standing there with your hands folded. Sri Ramakrishna said, we should show respect to everybody. Amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. Always we should pray to the Lord, chant the names and glories of the Lord Hari. So humility is a great quality of a jnani. As then Sri Ramakrishna said, when Kedar quoted these words from the Shikshashtakam, this is what Sri Ramakrishna said. Sri Ramakrishna said, as for me, I consider myself as a speck of the dust of the devotee's feet. That is how humble he was. As for me, I consider myself as a speck of the dust of the devotee's feet. That is humility. That kind of humility is the hallmark of a jnani who has self-knowledge. On another occasion also, same thing, a similar thing happened. When a person in an assembly of devotees in somebody's house in Kolkata, there was a person, Sri Ramakrishna was giving his teachings. A person named Neelakanta was there. That Neelakanta says, Sir, you are none other than Gauranga himself. This is on page 600 of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Sir, you are none other than Gauranga himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, incarnation of divine love. To which Sri Ramakrishna replied, why should you say such a thing? I am the servant of the servant of all. The waves belong to the Ganges, but does the Ganges belong to the waves? I am the servant of the servant of all. On that occasion also, he said this. So humility, amanitvam, the first quality of a true jnani who has self-knowledge is to remain humble. The second quality related to humility is adambhitvam, means unostentatiousness. Ostentation means showing off one's accomplishments. I have done this, I have done that, I have accomplished this much. Showing off one's virtues, I am such a humble person. A person who has humility does not claim it as a virtue. If I say I am such a humble person, I am proud of the fact that I have humility. That is Mr. Pride showing in disguise as humility. That should not be there. Showing off one's accomplishments, one's virtues, one's possessions, property, etc. is not to be done. That is not a sign of a knower of self-knowledge. Just like a child showing off its new toy to all other children. See how I have this new toy like this. So that is ostentation. Sri Ramakrishna said, describing the qualities of a rajasic devotee. A rajasic devotee, an aspirant possessed of rajasic bhakti, puts a tilak on his forehead and a necklace of holy rudraksha beads, interspersed with gold ones around his neck. At worship, he wears a silk cloth. So much outward show that I am doing this worship. Big tilak and sandal paste and all those things. And what we call mukutam, a very costly kind of silk dhoti with embroidered gold jari to show off that he is a devotee, holding Rudrakshamala or wearing Rudrakshamala, some of which is also gold plated. That is all ostentation, that is all show. Such a devotee is a rajasic devotee. A sattvic devotee does not show off. He quietly does the worship. A jnani or knower of God is one who conceals his provisions well and does not show off his good qualities, knowledge or material possessions and accomplishments that he or she may have. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the qualities of a jnani are described in the context of karma yoga. A jnani does a lot of work without fuss, without show, without noise. Quietly he does work and does not say, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. A jnani says, naiva kinchit karomi, I don't do anything at all. He does not claim, I have done this, accomplished this great project, look at this, how I have done. Not like that. Concealing our virtues, our possessions, our knowledge and remaining humble, these are two important qualities. Extravagant celebrations on some occasions you have seen nowadays, be it a prom, senior prom, or a graduation, or a wedding, or a birthday, huge amounts of money spent and celebrations and bringing musicians from India and hiring horses and elephants and hiring helicopters. Somebody told me their child wanted to hire a helicopter for senior dance. What is it? Prom. Prom. This is all too much ostentation. If money is there, it is good. One should be rich. One should make a lot of money, as Swamiji says. One should not be poor. Make as much money as you want. Through hard work, dharmic means, enjoy it and share it with those less fortunate people. There are so many people who don't have even the basic necessities. And this person is hiring helicopter to spread rose petals. All these things. That is ostentation. That is second quality. Amanitvam, adambhitvam. Third quality of a jnani is ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence. This has come many times in various contexts. In the 16th chapter also, in the Gita, Sri Krishna has listed non-violence as one of the demoniac qualities. Himsa is a demoniac quality. Ahimsa is a divine quality. It is also listed as an austerity of the body, shariram tapaha, in the 17th chapter. It comes again several times in the Gita and in other scriptures. Patanjali lists Ahimsa as the very first of the disciplines of Yama. There are 8 steps in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, which you studied with Swamiji some time ago. And the very first step is Yama. First 2 steps are Yama and Niyama. Each of these consists of 5 disciplines. The very first discipline of Yama with which we start our yoga practice is Ahimsa. Ahimsa, Satyasthaya, etc. Violence is not only, need not be only physical violence. Even if we tell a harsh joke or a cruel joke at the expense of somebody, that person feels embarrassed and humiliated. So that is causing violence. Not just physical violence, violence through speech and thought also. Violence can be verbal, mental or emotional abuse. Cutting cruel jokes, giving a silent treatment, using harsh language in conversation or argument, they all come under the category of violence. In the Patanjali's Yoga for Isms, Patanjali describes, classifies violence into many different categories. First of all, it can be violence. Worst thing is to do violence oneself, kritam. Second thing, which is no less evil, is karitam. Doing somebody do it and oneself remaining of technically free. Causing somebody to do violence to somebody else or something else. And then I myself did not do anything like that. It is karitam. Kritam means done by oneself. Karitam means having somebody do some kind of violence for one's own benefit. Third kind of violence is, according to Patanjali, anumoditam. Approving violence done by somebody else. Then also we are supporting violence. Kritam karitam anumoditam. Doing violence oneself, getting somebody else to do it on behalf of oneself, and when somebody else indulges in violence, then supporting it and not trying to reduce it, curb it. Violence can also be due to, Patanjali says, 3 reasons, 3 causes. Lobha, krodha, moha. Greed can lead to violent acts. Krodha, anger, can lead to violent acts. All the crime that you see in newspaper, news media, can be traced to 2 or 3 causes, main root causes only. Kama, krodha, lobha. All the white collar crimes, transferring somebody else's funds nicely through the internet into one's own account, that is one kind of violence. It is due to greed, due to lobha. And thirdly, Patanjali classifies violence according to intensity. Mridu, madhyama, adimatra. Mridu means slight violence. Whether violence is light or intense, it is still violence. Madhyama means middling. Adimatra means intense or great violence on a large scale. All of these are violence nevertheless. Patanjali also says that violence can cause intense misery and ignorance in the result. Dukkha ajnanam ananta phala, great ignorance. And ananta phala means gives infinite, endless suffering will come if you indulge in violence. Swami Vivekananda says, if you project hatred and jealousy, they will rebound on you with compound interest. No power can avert them. When once you have put them in motion, you will have to bear them. If you start violence, even as a innocuous thought, that will compound itself and come back to us, rebound on us, multiplied by so many times. So Patanjali also describes the benefit of practicing non-violence to a very high degree. Practicing non-violence to a great extent will remove all a trace of enmity in the whole environment. Whoever goes into the vicinity of such a person who practices non-violence, such a person automatically experiences peace in that ambience. Ahimsa pratishthayam tatsannidhau vairatyagaha. Vaira means hatred, enmity. If a person practices non-violence, in the whole atmosphere around, surrounding that person, in the place in which that person lives, there reigns supreme peace. Anybody, everybody, including animals, can experience it. In the Puranas and other scriptures, we read about the hermitages in forests of great sages, in which wild animals would all shed their natural enmity and live like friends. A jnani or knower of the self does not cause even the slightest injury in any way, not only to people, to animals, plants, and to environment. Putting lot of litter here and there, throwing litter, making lot of noises cause noise pollution, land pollution, air pollution, water pollution. It's all violence against nature. Violence did not only mean taking a stick and beating somebody. All this is also different aspects of violence. So we should be very careful. We should practice non-violence not only towards people, but also towards animals, plants, inanimate objects, and the whole of nature, earth, air, water, space. And in other ways we can cause violence, we have to be careful. So non-violence is a third quality of vijnani. Amanitvam, absence of pride, adambitvam, absence of show or ostentation, and then ahimsa, fourth quality of vijnani, sign of knowledge, self-knowledge in a person, is kshantihi. Kshanti is translated as forgiveness or endurance. In the commentary on this verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Shankara says, Paraparada praptau avikriya. Even if somebody causes us discomfort, causes us loss or pain, we should not become agitated under such circumstances. Retaliation, revenge is not recommended. Paraparada means other people sometimes can do wrong things to us. They can take away property, they can cause damage to us, loss to us in different ways. But we should not become upset and start hating those people. Sri Ramakrishna was kicked by another priest who was very jealous of him. Also, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi was beaten with sticks by robbers. But they did not become violent and take retaliation. But you can say they are vijnanis, they are brahmajnanis. They didn't have body consciousness as we have. What we should do, ordinary people should do when somebody causes violence to us. An ordinary person with body consciousness may have to react. We will have to react sometimes to violence. But without anger and hatred, lest we become a doormat. If we don't react at all, people will take advantage. They think our goodness is our weakness. And that should not be allowed to happen. We should react, but without anger and hatred in a reasonable fashion. Ahimsa. Swami Vivekananda said that only a strong person who can retaliate can forgive. If a person is unable to do anything, weakness, because the weakness is I am forgiving everything, there is not forgiveness at all. We should have the strength to retaliate. Then only we can forgive. Swamiji said only a strong person who can retaliate, forgive. Weakness should not be considered as forgiveness. Fifth quality is arjavam, straightforwardness. Shankara translates arjavam as rujubhavaha avakrita. Avakratvam, vakra means crookedness in our personality. Straightforwardness, absence of crookedness. The word arjavam comes in three or four places in the Bhagavad Gita. Straightforwardness means the mind, speech and action must all be harmonized. What the mind thinks, we should say in speech, and what we say in speech, we should carry out in action. Thinking something in our mind, saying something very pleasant to please the person, and then doing something entirely different from what we say, that is crookedness. That is not becoming of a seeker of knowledge, of a jnani. One should say and do what one thinks. Sri Ramakrishna did not like it when people said they would do something but did not follow it through. If we say that we do something, we have to follow it and we have to do it. Otherwise, we'll be saying something which we are not doing. Harmonizing the three instruments we have. Instrument of thinking, the mind. instrument of speech and instrument of action, bodily action, sense organs, they all should be harmonized. That is arjam, straightforwardness. The person should be predictable. If you say something, people should have confidence in your words. Yes, he said that, he will do that one. That is straightforwardness, arjam, fifth quality. Sixth quality of a jnani is acharyopasanam. Acharya means, according to Shankara, one who gives instruction regarding salvation. In moksha sadhana upadeshta, one who gives instruction, upadesha, instruction in regard to how to achieve liberation. Moksha sadhana upadeshta. Moksha sadhana upadeshtuhu, acharya, such a person is called an acharya, acharyasya susrushadi prayogena. Seva means service to a teacher. Service to a teacher consists in waiting on him who instructs regarding the means of salvation. The importance of serving the guru is emphasized in many scriptures. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there are instructions on how to approach a guru and when is a proper time to approach a guru. A very famous verse in the Mundaka Upanishad, which some of you studied with Swamiji, a person should evaluate the offerings of the world. How much happiness can I get in this world? And become convinced of the limited happiness that we can get in this world. Parikshalokan karmachitan. All this, the lokan means plural. Many, not only this world, but heaven also, other worlds also. Everything there comes as a result of action. Nasti akritaha. There is nothing that is not the product of work. But liberation is the only thing that is not the product of work. So a person should develop a studied, informed detachment towards the limited offerings of this world. Enjoy the world as much as possible, but then one should also know the limitations. No happiness comes in this world without a load of negative aspect attached to it. If nothing else, there is fear of loss. Whatever we have can be lost from us because it is not intrinsic. All the property, all the worldly knowledge, all the possessions, all the fame and name and everything, they all come and they all go. Sri Krishna graphically describes the limitations of all this kind of worldly happiness in a verse, chapter 5, verse 22. There Sri Krishna says, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. Eventually, all this material happiness that we enjoy, physical happiness that we enjoy, they will end. Adyantavantaha. When they end, they bring us a lot of pain. Adyantavantaha. They have a beginning and an end. You have to work very hard to make money, and then you enjoy, and after some time, money will be there, but our ability to enjoy will be lost. Or money will be taken away from us. One way or another, separation will come. That is why, when Nachiketa was offered by Lord Yama, in lieu of self-knowledge, which Nachiketa was asking, Yama offered him a great many things, worldly things. A large kingdom, a long life, queen, chariots, horses, wealth, treasury, everything he gave. Any other ordinary person would have grabbed all those things and gone away, but not Nachiketa. He was made of different stuff. Nachiketa says, all these things are temporary. No matter how long a lifespan you grant me, eventually you will come back to me to get me. Swabhava martyase dantakaitat. Whatever all these things that you give today, today they are there, tomorrow they may not be there. Or they may all be there and I may have to leave. One way or the other, separation will come. That is not what I want. I want something which is permanent, something which cannot be lost, something which is not the result of gaining something or result of work. It must be intrinsic. It must be lasting, everlasting. It must not be lost or there should be no diminishing. That kind of knowledge, happiness which comes only through self-knowledge, that's what I am insisting. So he refuses them. He says, look at this temerity, the knowledge, the discrimination, the renunciation of this little boy standing in facing the Lord of Yama himself. With great courage and determination, he says, sir, keep all these houses and chariots and music and dance for yourself. I insist on getting self-knowledge. That is the sign of wisdom. That's the sign of jnana. A sincere seeker of self-knowledge should critically examine and evaluate this world in which everything is obtained by performing karma. All karma is limited in duration and magnitude in two significant ways. Therefore, all result of karma is also limited by in duration and magnitude. They have a beginning and an end. So a really knowledgeable person, a thinking person, does not indulge in worldly pleasures to a great extent. They enjoy them to know their limitations and seek self-knowledge. Liberation is not the product of karma. That's the only thing that is not the product of karma. That's our intrinsic nature. It never was lost in the first place to gain. It was only covered by ajnanam. All spiritual practices are only to remove the covering that hides the self that is already within us intrinsically. Having thus acquired a detachment, a seeker should then approach a teacher in order to know the supreme reality, Brahman. How he should approach? With great humility. Samit Panihi, Upanishad says. Samit means a bunch of dry twigs which are used in fire ceremony in homes and in ashramas also. Taking that indicates the ability, the willingness of the student, of the seeker, to serve the teacher with humility. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, when we approach a teacher, we have to do three things. The three things are pranipata, pariprashna, seva. This is chapter 4, verse 24 in the Gita. There Sri Krishna says, if you want to know, have knowledge of the self, tat. Tadvidhi, know that ultimate reality, tat. How? Pranipatena, by saftang pranam, 8 parts of the body touching the floor. Dirgha namaskaram, indicating humility and surrender. Pariprashnena, by inquiring with sincerity into knowledge of the self. We have to ask some questions. Sir, what is the nature of ignorance? What is the nature of knowledge? How can one go about acquiring knowledge of the self? With these questions sincerely asked, that is pariprashna. Sevaya, by seva. Seva means some service has to be done. In the Chandogya Upanishad, the role of a teacher is greatly emphasized. You all know the story of Satyakama, who went to a teacher's house to join the Gurukulam. Those days, the schools were of a different kind. The schools were all like residential schools in the hermitage of a teacher living away from the city. And the boys will be all the residential scholars. They will stay. They would go to the Gurukulam at age 8 or 9 and stay there for 10 years, 12 years, 18 years, depending upon how much they wanted to study. And then they would do some service to the teacher. And they will also be taught by the teacher various branches of knowledge, including knowledge of the Upanishads and scriptures. In one such Gurukulam, when a boy named Satyakama went to the teacher and asked to be admitted to the Gurukulam, the teacher gave him a difficult assignment. The teacher says, see, I have accumulated a lot of old sick cows. The teacher's name was Haridrimatha Gautama. You see, I have a lot of these cows, hundreds of them people have given me, or they have become old. Can you do one thing? What can I do for you, sir? Satyakama says, can you take these cows and take care of them for some time and tend to them and bring them up, and one day become 1,000 strong, 1,000 strong herd of good, healthy, good-looking cattle, then you can come back. There was no morning class. Other students were attending morning class and they were given breakfast by the teacher's wife, and no lunch, and this person didn't have anything. He had to take care of the 400 cows. Imagine a little boy, 8 or 9 years old boy, given the responsibility of taking care of 400 old sick cows. And he could not go back to the ashrama until he takes care of them for many years, until they became 1,000 strong, healthy cows, healthy cattle. He accepted it, the challenge. That was Satyakama. He had that kind of strength. Then when he comes back, he still has to gain knowledge from the teacher. So Satyakama says, before Satyakama says anything, when he comes to the ashrama gate with 1,000 strong cows, all healthy, beautiful cattle, he has brought them. Many years have passed, 12 years, so many years have passed since he left. When he left, he was a little boy. Now he is a young man, tall and handsome looking young man. And his face was shining. His teacher Gautama, Haridrimata Gautama, looked at him. Satyakama, Brahmadivabhasi, Tata, Somya. Oh dear Satyakama, your face is resplendent, like the effulgent face of a knower of Brahman. Where did you get this knowledge? Satyakama says, oh, sir, I did not get knowledge from any human beings. I want to have knowledge from you. Satyakama says something very interesting, very important. Acharyadha eva vidya vijita sadhishtam prapati. Satyakama says, sir, knowledge can fructify in a person's heart and produce result, wisdom, only when it is conveyed by an illumined teacher like you. Please give me knowledge. So importance of a teacher has been emphasized in the Upanishads. In the Chandogya Upanishad also, there is another instance. There was this famous conversation between the father Uddalaka and his son Shvetaketu. Shvetaketu had been sent by his father Uddalaka to a Gurukulam to acquire knowledge. After 10-12 years, the boy comes back and the father notices there are significant gaps in the understanding of the boy. He had studied for so many years, but he had not grasped certain basic things. Then Uddalaka himself proceeds to teach the son. And that is when the teaching of the great Mahavakya Tattvamasi comes. And in that context, Shvetaketu says to Uddalaka, sir, I got this knowledge from you. That which I could not get from the teachers, I got it from you. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Only a person who has an illumined teacher, that person can gain knowledge from the illumined teacher. So, serving such a person, seva. Seva means service itself can be sufficient. There is a very interesting story in the life of Shankaracharya. I shall conclude with that story. Shankaracharya had four well-known disciples. Padmapada, Sureshwara, Hastamalaka and Totaka. Among the four, two of them are very great giants of scriptural knowledge. Padmapada and Sureshwara, they were great giants of scripture. They knew everything. And they were also, especially Padmapada was a little bit proud also about his scholarship, knowledge of the scriptures. The four teachers, four boys were there. Three of them were there. Totaka came at the end. Fourth one was Totaka. Hastamalaka story also came earlier. He was a person with some kind of a problem, who was not speaking until he was 8-9 years old. And Shankaracharya blessed him and he became a student. That another story. But the fourth person story, whose name was Totaka, was very interesting. With the three disciples, Padmapada, Sureshwara and Hastamalaka, Shankara went roaming from place to place and teaching Vedanta in every place. He went to a place called Sringeri in South India. He put up a camp there. And one boy one day came to him. That boy's name was Giri. And that boy was not very bright. He was very good in doing manual labor, but he was not very intellectually, not very bright. But anyway, Shankara took him, accepted him as a disciple. And that boy, whose name was Giri, he would do lot of seva, personal service to Shankara. Other people like Padmapada, Sureshwara, they were excelling in studies of the scriptures, anyway everything by heart. They could quote backwards and forwards all the scriptures. But Totaka didn't have that facility. He was very good in service. With great humility, with great devotion and love, he served the teacher. Totaka, his name was Giri before. Giri would every morning take bath before the teacher, arrange for the teacher's bath, water and everything, wash his clothes, prepare his food, prepare his asana, prepare his bed, everything. From morning till night, Giri only spent all his time in serving the teacher. Other students were studying the scriptures. So this went on for some time. So one day, Thotaka went to wash the clothes of his teacher Shankara, took his dirty clothes to a river to wash. And in the meantime, class time came. Every day there used to be Vedanta class, and all the other three students have assembled. Padmapada is there, Sureshwara is there, Hastamalaka is there, Thotaka is not there. Giri is not there. Giri had gone to wash the clothes of the teacher. They were waiting for some time. Shankara did not want to start the class. But Padmapada was very proud, who was very proud of his scholarship. He was impatient, sir. He tells his teacher, sir, why waste time waiting for this fellow who does not understand anything? He can come whenever he wants. Why don't you start class? We are all waiting. Shankara did not say anything. He remained silent. Silently, he thought of Giri and blessed him. And by the blessings of the Guru, Giri got knowledge. Giri comes back a little late. Everybody is waiting impatiently. But Shankara would not start the class. He was patiently waiting for the fourth disciple. So Giri must come before he start the class. Other students are impatient. Why the teacher is waiting? He can come later. Like that. Thotaka comes running, holding the washed clothes of the teacher. And as soon as he saw the teacher, a person who did not know much Sanskrit, did not know much grammar, had not studied much scripture, that person, on the spur of the moment, on the spot, composed a very beautiful Vedantic hymn in chaste Sanskrit, beautiful Sanskrit, and chanted it. All the other three disciples were dumbfounded. They were astounded. How this simple man, who never knew any Sanskrit or grammar or any scripture, how can he compose and chant this beautiful hymn? And that hymn was composed in a meter called Thotaka Ashtakam. Ashtakam is a hymn containing 8 stanzas. Thotaka is the meter, Thotaka Vrittam. In the Thotaka Vrittam, the Giri chants this hymn composed by himself on this spot. A man who had never shown any such ability or inclination. One stanza only I will read from that hymn that Thotaka, that Giri composed. Vidita khila shastra sudha jalade महितोपनिषत् कतितार्थ निधे हृदये कलये विमलं चरणं भवशंकर देशिकमे शरणं भवशंकर देशिकमे शरणं. This is one stanza of the hymn containing 8 stanzas. When the students, Shankara heard this song, this beautiful hymn, even to chant it is very, very interesting. Gives me a lot of joy to chant this Thotaka. It's called, became known as Thotaka Ashtakam, because it is Thotaka meter, name of the meter. Then Shankaracharya, he had silently blessed him. When the students were bragging about their scriptural knowledge, Shankaracharya gives, from today, your name will be Thotaka Acharya, because you composed this beautiful hymn in Thotaka meter and became known as Thotaka Acharya. So how Thotaka Acharya, a person did not have much scriptural knowledge, grammar, Sanskrit, etc. How could he gain knowledge like this? Because of the blessings of the Guru. How he got the blessings of the Guru? By sincere service. Acharya Upasanam, Sri Krishna says, as the fifth quality of a jnani, is to serve the teacher with great love and humility. That itself is a great virtue that brings all the benefits. It brings self-knowledge, as it happened in the case of Giri, who became later known as Thotaka Acharya. We will stop here, continue this study of knowledge and ignorance on another occasion when the opportunity comes. I shall say the closing prayer and then I will request Swamiji to conclude the proceedings. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve badrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from afflictions, may all realize what is auspicious and noble, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace. Peace and joy be in our hearts. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. Thank you all. Have a great afternoon. Swamiji.